Lecture 10, The Neo-Darwinian Synthesis.
Hello and welcome back. We've been talking quite a bit in the previous lectures over the disputes about evolution, over how evolution operated, over evolutionary mechanisms, both within the scientific community and to a lesser extent in the general public. During the first quarter of the 20th century, scientists remained deeply divided over how evolution operated. Oh, they all believed essentially that species did evolve, but they were deeply divided over how it operated, and virtually none of them saw a significant role for natural selection in the process. Darwin, by this time, had won on evolution, but he had not won on his particular theory of evolution, of natural selection. Now, let's sort of break down where they stood. Just this is sort of a reminder of where we've been before. Field naturalists, which is one important area of evolutionary science, field naturalists tended to follow Alfred Russel Wallace in stressing the role of geographical isolation and environmental adaptation in evolution. That is, you isolate a species and you have it in a somewhat different environment and new species would evolve. But they tended to see that Lamarckian mechanisms were the cause of variation. Another important area of evolutionary science then and today, of course, is paleontology. That is the study of fossils. And paleontologists back then interpreted the fossil record to show, as we've seen, a linear evolutionary development over time, which would be expected under Lamarckianism or orthogenesis or even theistic evolution. And if you go back then, 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, most paleontologists tend to be neo-Lamarckian or followers of orthogenesis. Geneticists is another major area, had become another major area for evolutionary biology. And there are some other evolutionary biologists in addition to geneticists who work in laboratories, paleontologists and field naturalists who work out in the field, of course, or in museums with dried specimens. By 1920s, certainly, and actually really by 1900, geneticists and these laboratory biologists tended to reject Lamarckianism for various reasons, as pushed by people like August Weismann, which we've mentioned before, and lean in favor of believing that there were discontinuous Mendelian-type mutations that fed evolution. Evolution came from these mutations, with really very little role for the adaptive value of those mutations in a survival of the fittest selection process. This reflected the fact that they were working in laboratories. In laboratories, remember, probably the most famous geneticist of the time was Thomas Hunt Morgan. We've mentioned him before. He worked with fruit flies. All of those fruit flies had plenty of food, especially the mutant forms, because he wanted to keep them alive and see what the next generation would do. So there really isn't much struggle for survival in a laboratory. So they didn't see a whole lot of that. They tended to stress the role of mutations themselves in driving the evolutionary process. Again, this worked well in laboratories, but it simply did not work well in the wild where the field naturalists were. So we saw a division among who should be agreeing, and that was really the cause more than anything else of this split over what was the mechanisms that were driving evolutionary science. They were working in different fields. There wasn't much speaking to each other. Well, aspects of each of these views began merging in the 1920s into a comprehensive neo-Darwinian synthesis as scientists in each of these different groups began gaining a greater understanding of what was happening in the other groups. So that all of them, field naturalists and laboratory geneticists and, to a lesser extent, paleontologists, began to gain a greater understanding of genetic factors and geographic factors. The first steps toward the neo-Darwinian synthesis, which is the theory of evolution that predominates to this day, the first steps toward it were taken during the 1920s, as geneticists began appreciating complexity in the genetics of large populations.